Chapter 14.
I was surprised by the silence my announcement was met with, but the people of Havenwood looked at me with trust in their eyes. I hoped it was well placed, but it was too late to take back the decision now. Havenwood was no longer safe.
"Where will we go?"
a voice asked from the crowd.
"We need to send out scouts to look for a new location. We will find some place just as safe as Havenwood used to be, and it will have enough room for everyone."
"You're going with us, right?"
another fearful, trembling voice asked.
"Of course," I answered with a broad smile. "I'll stay in town until we find a new spot, and then we will all travel together."
"Who will you choose as scouts?"
"Bird people," I said as my eyes drifted around the room before they landed on May. "Preferably of the flying variety."
"I will look on land, sea, and in the air. I will be the best scout anyone in all the land could have asked for."
"I will need you here, May. Your skills with a blade are invaluable to the safety of the people until we relocate. The clover cards could be back at any moment, and I'll need you here to help me eliminate them."
May's chest puffed out in pride as she took a long pull from her pipe.
"Very well, Dreamer. I shall do as you ask."
"Thank you," I replied with a dip of my head. Then I turned back to the rest of the crowd. "Once we find a new place, Dr. Kriya will need everyone's help transporting her patients."
"Dr. Kriya is a very patient woman."
"I mean the men and women suffering from the opposition effect down in the roots. On Earth, they would be called patients."
"Because you have to have patience to deal with them?"
Una asked with a confused frown.
Probably, I shrugged. "Moving on, we'll need to keep watch on the edges of the clearing and set up a better emergency system. The alarm bells worked to alert everyone, but there was no plan of action to follow through with. It's dangerous to have everyone running around in a chaotic mess, you know."
"We will do as you say, Dreamer. I will organize volunteers.
And I will prepare the potion victims for travel."
"And I will keep an eye on this little town,"
May declared with a flourish of her hat.
"No harm shall come to anyone while I stand watch."
"Work with Mags with the volunteers, May. While you're awesome, I'd like you to share some of your knowledge and experience with the rest of us. Anyone who wants to learn how to fight should join us in our training sessions."
"What a grand idea. We'll turn these women into warriors before the day is through."
"Perfect," I grinned. "Any other questions?"
The room was silent once more as everyone glanced around at each other, but no one volunteered an opinion, so I assumed they were all satisfied with my plan of action.
"All right, then let's get to it,"
I said as I clapped my hands together. Una slid into the space beside me as soon as I sat down, and Miss Maggie brought over a breakfast tray a moment later. May and Dr. Kriya joined us, and then Lena and Zidi also took a seat at my usual table. I looked around at my animal-people companions as pride swelled in my chest, and I had to admit they all wormed their way into my heart. I ate a bowl of Fruit Loop cereal, chased it down with a glass of orange juice, and flashed Miss Maggie a grateful smile. But then a thought crossed my mind.
"Mags," I said as my brow furrowed with concern, "will we be able to take the magic of the kitchen with us?"
"I'm unsure,"
Miss Maggie frowned.
"It's been here my whole life."
"Does anyone know how it works?"
"It just does,"
Dr. Kriya shrugged.
"It's just one of those things that make Havenwood special."
"That doesn't sound very promising. Sounds like it's staying right where it's at."
A worried hush swept through the people at the table with me, and everyone exchanged fearful glances. I knew they were scared to leave Havenwood behind, but I also knew we couldn't stay here forever, not until the clovers were no longer a threat.
"What will we eat without the kitchen?"
Una asked as her purple eyes flicked between Maggie and me.
"What other food is there?"
"Worst case scenario," I said as I bumped my shoulder against hers. "We can always find food in the wild, like bacon and noodles."
"I do enjoy noodles,"
Una said with a thoughtful nod.
"You're right, Alex. As long as we are together, everything will be okay."
"That's the spirit." I grinned at the beautiful, loyal cat girl. "Care to come train with May and I down in the clearing?"
"Of course."
Una nodded again, but her eyes were full of hope.
"I'm so glad you're here, Alex."
"We should have plenty of weapons for all who wish to join,"
May said as she puffed on her pipe.
"Thanks to the dastardly clover cards."
"Una,"
Dr. Kriya interjected as she wrung her hands anxiously.
"Didn't you say you wished to speak with me? Is everything all right?"
"Can I, Alex?"
Una asked with an earnest expression on her face.
"Can I tell everyone about your magic seed?"
Well, I think you just did. I sighed as I raked my hands through my hair. Go on, you might as well explain now that you've brought it up.
Alex healed me when he mated with me and gave me his seed,
Una said in an excited rush, and she bounced up and down on the bench at my side.
The opposition effects began to wear off immediately afterward. No need to brag about your mating with the dreamer. We all know he's special.
He's magic?
Miss Maggie's eyes narrowed as she considered me for a long moment.
How could that be?
Dr. Kriya shook her head in disbelief.
I'll have to analyze you myself, Una. I speak true. Alex healed me.
I believe you think so.
Miss Maggie consoled her.
But we will need more proof before we go around telling everyone his seed is magic.
Thank you, I breathed with another grateful smile for the pig lady. Miss Maggie had been skeptical of me when we'd first met, but her demeanor did a 180 the moment she realized I was the dreamer. Now I had a staunch ally who always seemed to have my back. I enjoyed this change, and I was glad to put the period of disbelief behind us all. Besides, I didn't want a town full of animal people tearing off my clothes anytime soon. Ugh. I was more than happy to keep the sexy shenanigans between Una and I for the time being. My eyes flicked to May's gorgeous face of their own accord, and I realized I'd grown accustomed to the absurd little beak in the center of her face. I had to admit that I enjoyed looking at her, and her mannerisms had grown on me considerably. I respected her desire to avoid the potions altogether, and she wouldn't be one to push herself on me just because of my healing sperm. So if she ever did make an advance, it would be for her own personal desires. I found myself hoping that would happen, but then I realized Una had asked me a question.
I'm sorry, I said with a sheepish grin. I got lost in thought for a moment. What were you asking?
Will you give the doc a sample? She wants to inspect it.
Sample?
I asked as I looked between the mouse woman and the cat girl. I had a feeling I knew what they meant, but in all the land, one could never be too certain of anything.
Of your seed?
The doctor explained, as her cheeks turned a rosy hue. The older woman couldn't meet my eyes for a long moment, but then she cleared her throat and regained her composure.
For research purposes only, of course.
Right. I swallowed down the lump in my throat. Sure, I guess. I don't think it would hurt anything to rule it out.
Thank you, Dreamer,
Dr. Kriya replied, and her eyes were alight with excitement.
This could change everything.
Una and I finished up our food, and then we followed May downstairs to the clearing with weapons in hand. I heard a noise behind me, and I glanced over my shoulder to see a line of animal people trotting along after us. It seemed the people of Havenwood were becoming braver by the minute. Things settled into something of a routine over the next few days, and I felt like the king of the castle with the way all the citizens of Havenwood began to treat me. People bowed their heads to me as we passed on the catwalks, and anything I asked was answered with a
"Yes, Dreamer."
I was the man in charge now, and everyone was looking to me to keep them safe. Havenwood was stripped down and packed up bit by bit over the course of several days, but the scouts still hadn't found a new location for our animal people town. The forces of the Dark King had taken over most of the wild forests, and Havenwood had been the last remaining rebel foothold in this corner of all the land. I held on to hope, though, and I sent the scouts back out each morning. Una received a thorough examination at the hands of Dr. Kriya, and the mouse lady declared the cat girl's side effects were indeed fading more rapidly than normally expected. The doctor eyed me in a new light after that, and she reminded me multiple times of my promise to donate a sample of my magic seed for her research. Good morning, my darling, I murmured in Una's ear one morning, several days after the vote had passed. Time to rise and shine.
I will do the rising,
Una grumbled in a sleepy voice.
But I cannot guarantee any shining.
Then I began my day. Una and I started with a hike around the perimeter of the clearing, and I greeted every guard by name as I passed by them. Good morning, Sherry, I said to the bear woman who was watching our eastern edge.
Fair morrow, Dreamer,
the large, fuzzy woman replied with a fang-filled grin.
Nothing to report this morning.
That's always good news. I returned her smile before I continued with my sweep of the perimeter. After we checked in with the watch shift and hiked around the edge of the clearing, Una and I joined May and whoever else wanted to participate that day for some training exercises. The dodo woman became more ruthless in her teaching methods after getting more students, and we ran drills for over an hour before the feathered female finally relented. Then I trotted up the stairs with Una to the dining hall for some breakfast. Ever since I'd learned the magical properties of the kitchen wouldn't move with us to the new location, I'd been gorging myself on as much delicious food as I could. I had strawberry crepes with a perfectly ripe banana and some pineapple juice on the side, while Una happily munched on some bacon and eggs. The cat girl had been expanding her knowledge base of food ever since I'd arrived, and she often wanted to try a bite or two of my dish. It was amusing to watch her roll the flavors around with her tongue as she crossed her eyes in an effort to decide if she liked it or not. After breakfast, Una and I usually snuck away to fuck for a few hours, and the hybrid hottie was quickly learning about everything I liked. We explored each other's bodies with no sense of urgency, but she somehow always managed to make me come several times. I was falling madly in love with the feisty feline, and I could tell the feeling was mutual. Una stayed by my side every minute of the day, and she even worked her tail off to improve her self-defense skills. I would always finish the day with a strategy discussion around my usual table, and I included anyone who wished to participate. Miss Maggie and Dr. Kriya offered up suggestions every once in a while, but everyone mostly just hung on my every word like I was sharing royal decrees. Roughly a week after I'd sent out the scouts, I was eating breakfast with Una and May when they all arrived in a flurry of feathers and bird squawks.
"Dreamer! Dreamer! Dreamer!"
they chanted in unison as they flew in the dining hall window and landed on nearby tables.
"We found something!"
"That's awesome!"
I put down the fork full of pancakes I'd been shoving in my mouth. "Where?"
"To the east,"
a stork woman said with a dip of her beak.
"A network of caves exists in the Sunrise Mountains."
"That sounds lovely," I said, as I brushed the crumbs from my hands and pushed myself to my feet. "Is it safe?"
"A treacherous journey through the mountains is the only way to reach it,"
a crow woman informed me in a pleased tone.
"The Clover Fortress lays far to the north, so there is little chance they would happen upon us by chance."
"It sounds perfect." My grin widened as I looked to Una. "What do you think, babe?"
"You ask for my thoughts?"
Una's eyes grew impossibly wide.
"I follow you, Alex. Whatever you decide will be the right choice."
"There's no telling when the clover cards will return. We are running out of time."
"Then we move!"
May took a long pull off her pipe, and in the next instant, her face was shrouded with smoke.
"Between the two of us, we could keep the people here safe while we travel across all the land to the Sunrise Mountains. I've been there before, and I believe I know which caves they speak of."
"Well, good," I nodded. "That makes me feel a lot more comfortable with the journey we have ahead of us." Una, May, and I went in search of Dr. Kriya and Miss Maggie to inform them of the update from the scouts. And we found the pair in the roots, tending to the sick and injured. The room had changed quite a bit since I'd last journeyed into the basement level of the sequoia tree, and it looked like the doctor had been hard at work preparing everything to be moved. Baskets were filled with medical supplies and stacked neatly by the door, and bundles of extra blankets were rolled up and placed in the corner. Several patients were up and about, but the majority of them just stared at me from their beds as I walked past.
"The scouts have returned,"
I said without preamble as we approached the mouse-eared doctor and the pig-tailed chef.
"They found a network of caves in the Sunrise Mountains."
"That is quite a distance from Havenwood,"
Dr. Kriya observed with a worried frown.
"I'm not certain the sick will make it that far."
"Well, we will just have to help them as much as we can. We aren't leaving anyone behind."
"I'm sure the doctor did not mean to imply we should leave anyone in Havenwood. We are merely worried about what the journey will take out of us. But some of us are afraid. My daughter has never been outside of the city. I'm not sure I can keep her protected."
"May and I will keep everyone safe," I promised in my most reassuring voice. "We should stay focused and calm. The people are looking to us to give them an example of bravery. We can't let them down."
"The dreamer speaks the truth,"
May interjected with a serious expression on her half-bird face.
"I will protect your people with my life. The forces of darkness shall not stand between us and our safe haven. We will traverse the wilderness with our chins lifted high, and you will witness the grandeur of the weakest among us.
While her words didn't entirely make sense, I could tell they helped to bolster Miss Maggie and the doctor's confidence, so I placed a hand on the dodo woman's shoulder. Let May and I worry about our enemies. The rest of you just stay focused on packing. We will leave the day after tomorrow.
Very well. I will be ready to leave when you are.
That should be more than enough time to finish my preparations.
And it gives us another day to practice with the volunteers. We'll have our own army before too long with Alex in charge.
I still wasn't entirely comfortable with being in charge of an entire population of animal people, but I wasn't going to argue with my catgirl companion. The rest of the day passed by swiftly, with everyone hard at work preparing the city for the big move, but I was eager to get on the road when the next dawn greeted me the following morning. We only had one more day before we were moving the city of animal people to its new location. I didn't have any possessions to pack up, so I spent most of my time training with my sword, but then Una asked me to help her with her dwelling, and my previous curiosity about her living situation returned. Una's house was close enough to mine that we could have shouted at each other from the doorways, but the inside was completely different from my minimalist interior. Shiny things and empty potion bottles littered every surface, and a pile of clothes in the corner operated as a dresser. Una was messy. I chuckled to myself as I looked around the crowded dwelling. It was going to take some work to clean everything up and get it ready for the big move, but I was more than willing to put in the effort it would take. Una meant the world to me, and I wanted her to have all her little knick-knacks with her in the new safe haven. We put everything into baskets, wooden crates, and bags within a few hours, and then Una and I stood in the center of her empty dwelling. Her violet eyes welled with tears as she glanced around, and I took her hand in mine to squeeze it warmly. "It's going to be okay. We'll have a place together in the new location, just you and me."
"I would like that."
Una's face brightened, and she returned the pressure on my fingers.
"Thank you, Alex."
"You're most welcome. Now come on, let's get ready to go." The two of us joined Dr. Kriya, Miss Maggie, May, and the others in the dining hall for one last magical meal before we headed out on our next adventure, and rounds of giggle juice were shared as the sun went down. It was bittersweet to say goodbye to the treetop city I'd called my home ever since waking up in the weird dream world, but I was looking forward to a sense of security again. I couldn't very well focus on helping Una with her potion ingredients if the clover cards could attack the city at any moment. We left at sunrise the following morning, and the caravan of animal people stretched from the waterfall to the trunk of the sequoia tree. Everyone had their backs laden with packs and baskets, but several pulled small wagons and carts. Miss Maggie took the lead with the scouts flying through the air above us, while May and I constantly circled around the group with our swords drawn. Our other trainees helped keep an eye on the perimeter of the crowd, and we began our trek across the landscape to the eastern horizon. I cast one last look at the 300-foot-tall tree before I took a deep breath and followed the line of people away from the clearing. The treetop city had been fun while it lasted, and I would always treasure the times I'd spent within the branches. The caravan of animal people trudged through the woods, but I noticed several eyes stayed locked on me and followed my every move. I was a celebrity to them, a hero, and it was a little unnerving to be constantly scrutinized. I would be happy once everyone was settled into their new homes, and I could go back to helping Una with her healing potion. We'd traveled for half the day when the cat girl pulled me to the side and gestured at the slightly familiar-looking trees around us.
"We're getting closer to the happy fields and the tulips,"
Una explained, when all I could do was blink at her in confusion.
"Which means we're going in the same direction as the giant footsteps again. We could still find the sniffer snatcher tail, Alex."
"It would have to be half-rotten by now," I pointed out. I was hesitant to leave the group, but if we could kill two birds with one stone, then I was on board. "But it's worth a shot, right?"
"I believe it is."
Una nodded emphatically.
"I'll tell Miss Maggie and Dr. Kriya we're separating from the group."
"I'll tell May. That way she can be on extra high alert for any danger." Una and I met back up a few moments later, and the two of us slid our hands into a tangled knot before we trotted away from the line of animal people. Let's make this fast. I don't want to leave them without any protection for long.
Everyone will be fine,
Una said, as she flashed me a sideways smile.
Even with the sick and injured among them.
I hope so, was all I could say, and then I refocused on the path ahead. Una was right. We were close to the happy fields and the clearing full of tulips. It had been days since we'd been here, but our suspicions were confirmed when we saw a smiling tree in the woods. One of the asshole, less-than-talkative trees had given away our position to the clover cards, and I wasn't about to make the same mistake again. We have to avoid the smiling trees, I said, as I pulled Una to the side. Remember, they're assholes loyal to the Dark King now, so try to stay out of their eyesight.
Got it.
Una nodded curtly, and her eyes darted around the shadowy forest. Then she spotted the smiling tree, and a glare burned in her gaze.
Assholes.
That's the spirit, I whispered, and I resisted the urge to laugh at her enthusiasm for hating the trees who had betrayed us. The two of us hopped from tree to tree, and we were careful to stay out of sight of the smiling tree. Once we were a safe distance away, we returned to our normal pace as we searched the ground for the giant footprints. We found them a short while later, and then we held hands again as we walked in the giant's trail. The tracks were easy to spot, so we made good time, and we passed by the field of tulips as the sun hit the middle of the rainbow-colored sky. The snow-capped mountains peaked over the eastern horizon, but they were growing steadily closer with each step we took. This time, I wouldn't be distracted by anything. We would find the Sniffer Snatcher tail, and we would claim it for ourselves, even if I had to kill a giant in order to do so. But I hoped it wouldn't come to that. As we drew closer to the mountains, I noticed a foul stench permeated the air, and I wrinkled my nose in disgust as I pulled Una to a halt. "Do you smell that?" I asked, but I assumed the cat girl's sense of smell was far beyond my own.
"The stench of a giant,"
Una answered with a solemn nod.
"We're getting closer."
"Are they dangerous?" I asked as I swallowed down the lump that suddenly rose in my throat.
"Just about as much as anything in all the land,"
Una mused. I thought about my experiences so far. The laughing flowers and smiling trees were the remains of soldiers from the past who'd been annihilated by evil sorcerers. An animated deck of cards terrorized the region, and football-sized bees with the wings of a bat could kill you with their 4-inch stinger full of venom. There certainly were plenty of ways to die in all the land, and hardly anything was as innocent as it first appeared. So, yes, I surmised with a sideways smirk. We continued to follow the trail of feet and the stench of giant closer to the mountains, and then we were climbing over boulders and up crevices to reach the next footprint. The two of us rose over a hill, and suddenly a large cave was visible up ahead. A curl of smoke headed toward the sky, and the sour smell was so strong it was almost unbearable. The giant had to be close. "We should be quiet," I said in a low voice. "We don't want to anger it if we don't have to." At least I had a few potions with me just in case. I'd made sure to grab another big potion from Dr. Kriya's stash of labeled elixirs before we'd separated from the group, so I wasn't scared of a single giant. I could easily match it in strength if it came down to a fight, and I was determined to get the Sniffer Snatcher tail at all costs. As we neared the smoke, I realized it led to a gigantic bonfire that burned in front of the opening of the cave. A massive yellow-colored boulder laid between us and the entrance. But then I realized the boulder had feet. It was the giant. And it was asleep. I scanned the giant's campground for signs of the Sniffer Snatcher, and then I noticed the black and white spotted fur stretched across a wooden frame on the other side of the flames from where I stood. The tail was still attached to the skin, and it caught my eye as it flapped in the breeze like a flag. "Una! There it is!"
"I'll keep an eye on the giant,"
the cat girl whispered as she pushed me forward.
"You get the tail."
I crept along the edge of the campsite, and I maneuvered my way over to the skinned Sniffer Snatcher, with my breath held in my lungs. Every move I made seemed to echo through the air, but I tried to muffle my movements the best I could. At least I wasn't wearing the loud, creaky armor I'd stolen from the Clover cards.
Alex, wait!
Una suddenly hissed, and I froze in place as my eyes leapt to the sleeping giant. The cat girl scurried across the distance to me, and she stood on her tiptoes to whisper in my ear.
I just realized we can get another ingredient while we're here. The drool of a giant.
Oh boy. Now I had to sneak even closer to the giant. Una pressed an empty potion bottle into my hand, and she flashed me an encouraging smile.
You can do this, Alex. You're the dreamer of prophecy.
All right. I took a deep breath and let out my exhale as quietly as I could. I can do this. Then I took the empty potion bottle in hand as I snuck around the giant's sleeping form, and I let out a silent sigh of relief when I spotted the large tendril of drool dangling from the massive man's open mouth. I inched forward carefully with the bottle extended, and I scooped up a sliver of the slimy liquid as it reached for the ground below. I caught the drool in the bottle, but I resisted the urge to whoop with joy, and instead backed away cautiously. Una did a quiet victory dance when I raised the filled bottle above my head to show her my success, and then I turned to the wooden frame supporting the sniffer-snatcher tail. I corked the opening of the bottle of drool before I tucked it into the folds of my tunic, and then I held out my sword as silently as I could. The soft hiss of the metal releasing made sweat rise on my forehead, but the blade was free a moment later, and I got to work on sawing off the dog monster's tail. I hacked through the tanned skin of the sniffer snatcher with blind resolve, and I didn't hear Una's low warning call until the sound of rocks falling caught my attention. I swiveled with the sniffer snatcher tail in one hand and my sword in the other to see the giant slowly rising to his feet. The 20-foot-tall man towered over me, and I blinked up into the impossibly large eyes as I stood frozen in place. Well, fuck.
Run, Alex, run!
Una yelled, and her voice pulled me into action. I took off running just as the giant's hand swooped down to grab me, and I narrowly dodged the reaching tree trunk-sized digits.
Well, let's get out of here!
I shouted as I caught up to Una, and the two of us jumped over boulders as we put as much distance between us and the giant as possible. We ran and ran as fast as we could without looking back, but I didn't hear the sound of the giant's massive feet stomping through the trees, so I finally stole a glance over my shoulder. The giant stood on the side of the hill a short distance from the opening to his cave, and he watched us leave without making a move to follow us. We were in the clear. I slowed to a trot as I flashed Una a triumphant smile. Now we had three of the ingredients required to make the healing potion. The dreamer was victorious once again.